have no other king but King Jesus. That was the most prominent saying during the war for American independence. In Psalm 35 it says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them." That was the psalm that was read by Jacob Duchesne, who was requested to do the opening prayer on September the 7th, 1774, at 9 a.m. in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. And he offered up this prayer. "O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments, look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these our American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee have they appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for that countenance and support which thou alone canst give. Take them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them thy wisdom and counsel and valor in the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Convince them of the unrighteousness of their cause. And if they persist in their sanguinary purposes of our own unerring justice, sounding in their hearts, constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unnerved hands in the day of battle. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of the honorable assembly. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation, that the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order and harmony and peace may be effectually restored, and truth and justice, religion and piety prevail and flourish amongst the people. Preserve the health of their bodies and vigor of their minds. Shower down on them and the millions they here represent such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior." And that was the prayer in the Continental Congress first session. Now, I have chosen to read that to you tonight, read a prayer, because in 1774, Jacob Duchesne had that fervor. In fact, John Adams, our second president, wrote a letter to his wife Abigail and said, "This is probably one of the best prayers I've ever heard. It moved everybody, including the very staunch Quakers who don't cry over anything, to cry and to weep, and it filled everyone's bosom." And this is really a message, in many respects, to politicians, because in 1777, when the British attacked Philadelphia, Jacob Duchesne, in common vernacular, he caved. He wrote a letter to General Washington saying, "The Patriot cause is not going to succeed, and I suggest that you surrender to the British." That letter went to the Continental Congress, and they deemed him a traitor, and he had to leave America and go to England, where he was quite popular in preaching, as you can imagine at that time, being a traitor. He didn't come back until after the war was over. He petitioned the Congress and President Washington to forgive him, and they forgave him, and he came back. So the question tonight is, why should Christians be involved in government and politics? In Proverbs 28:15, it says, "Evil men don't understand the importance of justice, but those who follow the Lord are much more concerned about it. A A wicked ruler is as dangerous to the poor as a lion or bear attacking them. With good men in authority, people rejoice. But with the wicked in power, they groan. And I believe there's groaning in our land tonight. When rulers are wicked, their people are too. But good men will live to see the tyrant's downfall. Where there is ignorance of God, the people run wild. But what a wonderful thing it is for a nation to know and keep His laws. If the moral, righteous people of our country do not take their responsibility in government, then we leave the doors open for our nation to be governed by the wicked and immoral. America has a unique form of government that can only work well if the people will be involved in many ways. Christians need to pray every day, pray for America and its leaders. We need to register to vote. We need to be informed regarding where the various candidates stand on moral and biblical issues and the Constitution. We need to select, elect, and actively support godly men and women who are constitutionalists, who are prepared to stand for public office, take the oath, and keep it. We need to vote on every election day, whether local, county, state, or national. John Jay, one of our first Supreme Court justices, said, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Joseph Story, also a Supreme Court justice, said, "Republics are created by virtue, public spirit, and intelligence of the citizens. They fail when the wise are banished from the public councils because they dare to be honest, and the profligate are rewarded because they flatter the people in order to betray them." Samuel Adams, who was certainly, if not the father of the American Revolution, certainly one of them, a great Christian man and great leader, he said, "If ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. I suggest to you the time has come." So let every citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he's not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not so to do, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and to his country. That was also Samuel Adams. America is the greatest experiment in self-government the world has ever known. She is a constitutional republic with a representative government where citizens can vote according to democratic principles, those they choose to represent them. After the election, they must also keep those elected officials accountable to the Constitution and the people. And Sam Adams also said, and it is biblical, by the way, "Know them by the fruit they bear. The people must know the character of those that want to represent them." And in the words of Benjamin Franklin, "A republic, if you can keep it." I will. Will you? Someone has stolen my country, and I want her back, and I want her back now.